Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to talk about decoding the future. And I might add decoding the present, then decoding the future, and recognizing that you can't decode the present or the future unless you're able to decode the past. Now, most people in our world today, even in the United States of America, are incapable of decoding the past because they've never been taught the past. They have no real knowledge of history. The only knowledge of history they have is the rather inane, stupid, silly, deceptive, and trite accumulation of irrelevant facts, irrelevant dates, and irrelevant conclusions. I mean, you can take any given subject matter and then analyze what people really know when they go through the educational system. And when they finally graduate, even if they get, you know, PhDs or advanced degrees or whatever, determine what they really know. And what they really know is very, very little about the subject that they majored in. Talk to most people who are financial planners, etc. Now, there are obviously exceptions, but most financial planners that you talk to don't have a clue about how our economic system works. They have no idea whatsoever about what the Federal Reserve System is, the central banks, the fact that we print money from nothing, et cetera, et cetera. They have no clue. And being clueless, by the way, is synonymous with being ignorant. Being ignorant is synonymous with lacking knowledge. And if you want to finish that mathematical equation, you simply put the equal sign at the end of it and you write the words lack of power, lack of wisdom, perishing, because without knowledge, people perish. Without a vision, God's people perish. Knowledge is essential, because what is knowledge? What is real knowledge? I'm not talking about knowledge in the sense of gnosis, G-N-S-O. My brain is fogged out here. Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. I'm not talking about that kind of gnosis, from which we get the word Gnostic, where a person or a group or a sect or whatever is in love of knowledge just for the sake of knowledge. I'm talking about true knowledge. True knowledge is true. It's not just a body of thought. It's actually true. So when people have true knowledge, which comes from the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth, then people have the power to be set free. How you enslave an individual, how you enslave a nation like the United States or any other nation, the way to enslave an individual and the way to enslave a nation is to deprive that individual or deprive that nation from being exposed to true wisdom and truth. Then that individual will begin to die. Then that nation will begin to die. Because when an individual or a nation is deprived of truth or rejects the truth, what they do is they, on an individual level and on a national level, they begin to accept non-truth or falsehoods or heresies or lies, and Satan is the father of lies. So when your mind is captured and dominated by lies, you are no longer a free human being. And most of the people you talk to, by the way, are not free human beings. they're not even aware of the fact that they're not free human beings. And the reason they're not free human beings is because when you have rejected the truth, you cannot be free. That's why Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You cannot be free. Oh, you can rant and rave about how free you are. You can sing songs like, I happen to like this song, the rock and roll song by Neil Young, "Rocking in the Free World." It's a great song, as rock and roll music goes. But the meaning of the lyrics, on one hand, "Rocking in the Free World," reflects the fact that at least you can rock in the free world. But on the other hand, if what Neil Young means by rocking in the free world is nothing more than an adolescent fantasy where you're smoking dope and having sex and acting out your freedom in rather trite ways, well, you're not going to rock anything. I mean, you're not going to change anything. It's an infantile philosophy. That philosophy, by the way, that infantile philosophy was embraced by this entire nation, the United States, during the 60s and the 70s. And I was part of that. I was foolishly part of that collective mindset that we called the counterculture. We were going to rock in the free world, you know, love, peace, all the rest of that stuff. But it was an infantile, that whole hippie counterculture thing was a infantile, and I'm being kind, it was worse than being infantile. It was a diaper-clad philosophy. It was a bunch of adults and young adults running around in diapers, and I'm not talking about running around in diapers because they're in advanced years. I'm talking about running around in diapers because their belief system was so infantile. Infantile because it was not true. There was nothing true about it. That's why I got out of it. That's why I left the counterculture. I left, you know, radical causes because it wasn't true. They kept saying they were going to build a brand new world of love and peace and loving your neighbor and, you know, redistributing the wealth and all the rest of that stuff. But they didn't even come close to that. It was an infantile philosophy. And because it was an infantile philosophy, it imploded upon itself. So you had all this talk about love, joy, peace, rock and roll, you know. And then in reality, their reality contradicted it. So you would have recruitment by the Violent Weather Underground. There was no love in that. You would have the Altamont Speedway rock and roll concert outdoors with the Rolling Stones, where a guy gets murdered or allegedly murdered by the Hell's Angels while it's being filmed for a documentary that'll be played in theaters. That microcosm event of the Rolling Stones when Mick Jagger is singing "Sympathy for the Devil" on the stage of this outdoor rock and roll concert at the Altamont Speedway was a microcosm of the disintegration of the hippie culture, the counterculture generation, because there was no love and joy and peace in that. A guy got brutally murdered. And that wasn't the only event. And this infantile culture began to birth like the Weather Underground. Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, friends of President Obama. And their infantile philosophy was radical revolutionary communism. They were communist revolutionaries by any means necessary. So that's an infantile philosophy. Why is it an infantile philosophy? Because it doesn't promise it doesn't deliver what it promises. It promises a utopia on Earth. It promises a brand new world order that is harmonious and loving and peaceful. And every time it's acted out, it brings violence, mass killing, and everything else. And then the so-called psychedelic drugs that you know, I was deceived by that message, because like the Harvard professor, Dr. Timothy Leary, the LSD prophet, you know, would get on national television and say, turn on, tune in, drop out. And they sold LSD as a mind-expanding, intelligence-enhancing drug, which it is not. It's a mind-controlled drug. LSD is the premier mind-control drug used by the Nazis under the scientific psychological warfare program known as MK-Ultra, utilizing a formula called pain, drugs, and hypnosis. And when you subject a soldier or somebody stuck in a concentration camp, or you subject an individual or a population to the formula of pain, which could be shock or crisis, drugs, which they specifically meant LSD, and hypnosis, hypnotic program, repetitive programming, then you can brainwash an individual. You can exercise mind control over an individual or a nation. And so the outward message was lies. And what was really happening is that an entire generation in the United States of America and throughout the world underwent a mass psychological transformation utilizing MK-Ultra technology and the MK-Ultra formula developed by Aldous Huxley and others, which was pain, drugs, and hypnosis. And so when you put somebody through that, you can totally transform them. And they wanted to, what they wanted it to do, Huxley and the other leaders, what they wanted to do was transform America radically from a Judeo-Christian nation, a nation that had its belief system and behaviors based on the Bible. They wanted to take America, which was economically a capitalist nation, and they wanted to create a kind of soft revolution where we would become a communist Marxist nation and we would no longer be a Judeo-Christian nation. We would become an outright in-your-face pagan nation. So when we arrive at where we are now, which is today, it's not an accident that the two fastest growing religions in America are witchcraft and ironically, atheism. So everything is spiraling in the opposite direction, but it's intentional. Now, very intelligent scientists, neuroscientists, electrical engineers, biologists, neuropsychiatrists, a whole spectrum of scientific disciplines. They have received considerable funding to experiment on how to change human consciousness, how to transform human thinking and human behavior. And they have used this weaponized arsenal of scientific mind control against the American people to program the American people and to program people all over the world. So where we are now is we are in the middle of what many believe is a manufactured crisis called the COVID pandemic. And nobody seems to know where the origins of the pandemic come from. And, you know, they're looking at animals, animal to human transmission. They're looking at all these different things. But every time they look, the more honest scientists recognize that whatever the coronavirus is, it has similarities to other bacteriological warfare viral weapons that go back, you know, to the 1960s and before. So there's some kind of DNA similarity between COVID and other manufactured biowarfare type of technologies. Now, so what happens with COVID? You have a global crisis. And in order to stop this global crisis, you create an entire series of behavioral transformations that you call the new normal. And you psychologically condition people to accept the new normal and to reject the normal. That, by the way, is called mass mind control. And this is something you really need to understand. Most pastors, most Christians are absolutely clueless, and it's embarrassing to be around them when you're having a so-called intelligent conversation. It's quite an embarrassment to be talking to people who claim to be Christian leaders and couldn't lead their way out of a Boy Scout camp in the dark with a flashlight. I mean, they're clueless. They don't even know the words that I'm talking about are completely alien to them. And that's a shameful thing. For people like that, I would suggest that you get them a copy of my book and read it yourself and pass it around. Get a copy of my book, Conquering the Matrix, and you can get a bundle pack discount, financial discount, if you get a book bundle and get A Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix, Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, and it'll all explain to you in a fast-moving, easy-to-read style, scientific mind control, and a very important thing to understand, which is the combination of scientific mind control and the occult. And when you talk about this, people give you that far away look, like a deer frozen in the headlights. They have no idea what you're talking about. But that's really on them. Because if they were readers of the Word of God, which they claim to be, they would read the Word of God, and especially, for example, the book of Proverbs, but not limited to the book of Proverbs. And they would see over and over and over again that God calls his people to gain wisdom, knowledge, truth, understanding, and to pursue it with a tenacity like you would pursue discovering a treasure of gold or silver or precious jewels. You have to hunt. You have to be aggressive in your pursuit of the truth. Otherwise, you won't understand what's going on. So I strongly suggest that you read those books. Because when you read the books and then you take a look at what's happening right before your very eyes, you're going to notice that there is tremendous similarities between the known factors of scientific mind control, the known factors of occult rituals being combined. And then all of a sudden, you'll realize that all this symbolism, that is, that you're being bombarded with symbolism of people wearing face masks, symbolism of ordinary people like you and me wearing face masks, but the elite, the political rulers, the celebrity class, the elite of our society are many times appearing on television, etc., and notice that they're not wearing masks, including the ones that are lecturing everybody else about wearing masks. They're not wearing masks. And not only are they not wearing masks, they're not even practicing social distancing. And these people keep getting caught, yet they are forcing the populations that they control to wear masks, to not go to restaurants or gather together during family holidays or whatever. They're outlawing it for you, but secretly they do anything they want and they keep getting caught. Now, there's a psychological programming feature embedded in that, and there's an occult ritual embedded in that. First, on a subconscious level, you create in the minds of the viewing and listening audience, you create an artificial psychological hierarchy. In a hierarchy, you know, somebody's the top dog, somebody's the underdog. In a hierarchy, you have the king and the queen, and then at the bottom of the barrel, you have the feudal slaves that slave for the king and the queen. It's always a top-down management system, pyramidal management system. So what the occult rituals and symbolism reinforce is they teach your subconscious mind that those who have power, that those who are the rulers that you're supposed to obey, they're free to not wear masks, to not practice social distancing. They're free to do that. And the fact that they do it is, now remember, this is what your subconscious, not your conscious mind, is saying. Your subconscious mind is being trained, just like you would throw a dog, you know, a bone or something, and he'll go run, chase it, and bring it back to you. You know, you can train animals rather quickly. You can train people rather quickly. And so the exposure to the elite not wearing masks, not practicing social distancing, while in contradiction, you're being exposed to the working class and middle class being forced to social distance, even if that means bankruptcy of their restaurants, the businesses they work in. The elite don't care. Because they're not subject, they're not feeling any pain from the rules that they inflict on others. And so the embedded message in the subconscious is that the king and queen class, their social status can be recognized by the fact that they don't have to social distance and they don't have to wear masks. This is occultic ritualism. It goes back to ancient Babylon, and I talk about it in my books, including the Babylon Code that I wrote with Troy Anderson, and A Prophecy of the Future of America. By the way, you can get my books at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. So this goes all the way back to Mystery Babylon. And in Mystery Babylon, which was a Luciferian religion that came into being in ancient Babylon that was ruled by Nimrod. And this was when ancient Babylon had built the Tower of Babel, this majestic pyramidal shaped tower, which went into the heavens. And the people of ancient Babylon, practicing secretly, Mystery Babylon, a satanic religion, would hold occultic ceremonies involving the stars and rituals when they would walk up the steps to the top of the Tower of Babel. And as you know, or should know from reading Genesis chapter 11, God comes down and judges ancient Babylon. But why was it a mystery Babylon? Why was it a secret? Because you see, these are the basics. You've got to understand the basics or you are a clueless bozo. And I'm going to tell you what, God does not have a whole lot of room for clueless bozos on the spiritual battlefield of the reality we live in. God did not call you to be a spiritual bozo. It is not a gift of the Spirit. So if God didn't call you to be a spiritual bozo and it's not a gift of the Spirit, then why do we have, excuse me, you're going to think I'm a little bit cruel, but I'm not. I'm in the battlefield saying, wake up. Why is it then that we have so many spiritual bozos in the body of Christ? But why is it? It's not the will of God. It's not the plan of God. We have spiritual bozos in the body of Christ for one reason and one reason only. We have a group of people that call themselves Christians, including Christian leaders, who no longer study and read the Word of God. And not only that, they don't have a clue about how to apply the Word of God to things like COVID or history or Mystery Babylon. They don't even know what Mystery Babylon is or anything else that I'm talking about, by the way. If I was to sit down with them in the room, you would think I stepped out of a UFO. They would look at me what they communicate with their eyes is like mind-blowing. Enough of that. I don't want to get into a tirade. But when you're called to be a watchman on the wall, which many of you are, which I am, the purpose of this ministry is, somebody once asked me, because when I was doing my live 3 to 4 hour a day, live interactive Christian radio talk show, which became nationally syndicated and had a massive audience, I would get questions. This was back a few years ago. And I would get people who were listening. This is when Howard Stern was on AM and FM. This was when Michael Savage was not censored off all the radio stations. Well, I would get all these people. Don't ask me how this works, because I'm not sure I could tell you. I would get people calling me on the show and say, I used to listen to Howard Stern. Now, Howard Stern basically did a porn shock jock radio program. And Michael Savage, you know, was ferocious on the air. But I would get all these callers saying, I used to listen to Howard Stern, or, you know, I used to listen to Michael Savage. Now I listen to you every day on my way home. Why? Why was that? It's because I came on the mic with passion and energy. You know, I didn't act like a cookie cutter cutout of what an evangelical Christian is supposed to be. The world doesn't relate to that. And then people would say, some people would think, they wouldn't say it, but they'd think it, oh, he's so worldly, that's why he's attracting these people. And that's exactly what they said to Jesus. You're so worldly, Jesus, you're so worldly, that's why you're sitting down with prostitutes and tax collectors. No, Jesus was not worldly. He was ministering to them. I don't claim to be Jesus, but if I'm a follower of Jesus, then I'm going to preach a message that the ordinary person who needs Jesus is going to listen to. So the point is, when you go back to Mystery Babylon, you know, one of the translations of the word Mystery Babylon involves the It means the covering up of, the covering up of the mouth. It's like you put, you put your hand over your mouth so people can't hear you. It has a reference to being masked. So Mystery Babylon, the actual linguistic term, going all the way back to ancient Babylon, Mystery Babylon conveys a meaning which involves covering up the mouth and sealing the mouth, masking the mouth, so you could preserve the secret society occult teaching. So we have now people covering their mouths, wearing masks. Now, I disagree with a lot of people, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There are germs. There are bacteria. Yeah, I've read all the research, so don't write, don't send me an email about how many particles of germs we breathe in every day. I know that. Don't write me an email telling me the fact that the mask allows in, you know, millions of bacteria and viral particles and stuff. I already know that, okay? But God gave you a brain. And the assumption from God when he created, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, notice that both Adam and Eve had brains. So let's do the math together. If God created Adam and Eve with brains, if God created every man and woman with a brain, then wouldn't you think there's the expectation from God that all men and women should be using the brain that God gave them? Of course, God would have that expectation, or he wouldn't have created the brain. The brain is supposed to serve you. The brain is what helps you think and get wisdom and knowledge. You're supposed to use it. So let's do a simple exercise in using our brains. Now, you heard me talk about masking the occult, and then I made reference to the COVID mask. Okay, we need to look at that. But we also need to look at the fact that long before the COVID virus pandemic erupted, I was speaking to a very intelligent medical doctor. I've asked a bunch of very high-level medical doctors, etc., their private opinions about vaccinations, masks, and the whole COVID thing. You know, what their off-the-record opinions. And it's very interesting, the answers I get. But one particular doctor told me that he has been wearing masks for years because part of his practice involves going into hospitals and other medical areas where there is a lot of pneumonias, bronchitis, respiratory diseases. There's a lot of infections all over the place. And what he said to me, and this is long before the coronavirus, he says, I always put on a mask when I would visit these medical facilities because there were so many sick people. And that was the way I could keep myself from catching, you know, whatever they had. Okay. He wasn't fighting off imaginary germs. So it worked. The mask was a very good preventative thing to wear to keep him from getting sick when he visited hospitals, etc., before the coronavirus. So whatever the origin of the coronavirus is, man-made or whatever, it still is some kind of virus or bacteria or a combination of both or whatever. And so if other serious infections and diseases like bronchitis and pneumonia, et cetera, if they can be stopped or reduced in their spread by wearing a mask, then it's only logical to understand that, gee, a mask would make a good preventative thing to wear to keep you from getting another kind of virus or bacteriological infection, COVID. So, what's the point? The point is, you can't take a mystical jump and just go out into the twilight zone because you got some facts. Now, this has been my life experience personally. This is kind of a personal story, so I feel a little bit uncomfortable talking about it to people all over the world, but I'm going to talk about it. I remember when I had to fly back to New York City to visit my father, who was seriously ill in the hospital. He had fallen. He was well into his 80s. He had fallen, and I don't know what caused the fall or whatever, but anyway, he ended up in the hospital, very serious. While in the hospital, which didn't surprise me at all, while in the hospital, he got pneumonia, okay? So when I was visiting him, they had him hooked up to some kind of antibiotic, and he was recovering from pneumonia or whatever. Now, when I walked into that hospital in Manhattan, and it was one of the best, I think it was one of the best hospitals, if not the best hospital in Manhattan. When I walked into that hospital, I was instantly concerned before I even walked into it, because it had been my life experience before that when I had gone into hospitals with a lot of people infected with pneumonia and stuff, that there were a number of occasions where I ended up catching the pneumonia, the bronchitis, or whatever they had, just from being in a hospital. Oh, and yes, I washed my hands and I tried to keep a distance, okay? Now, people weren't wearing masks in the room where my father was, whatever. So, I knew in my spirit that the Lord was about ready to take him home. In fact, I knew that the Lord was going to take him home. And I prayed for him anyway, and I was there to visit him because I sensed in my spirit that this would be a goodbye. Not forever, because I led my father to Jesus Christ. I led him to the Lord, I don't know, 20 years earlier. So he was born again, and I knew he was going to heaven, and we talked about it, but he could barely talk. And so, you know how these hospitals are, they have these curtains between the different areas. I wasn't embarrassed about what I was talking about. I talk aloud anyway, but I wasn't going to shout because my father, he didn't have a hearing problem. But I didn't want to have to shout a personal conversation because I was ministering to him. So I knew this was a bad thing to do, but I said to myself, you know, this is probably going to be the last time you're going to see your father here on earth. You're going to say goodbye to him. And so this was like a holy, sacred, precious time. And so I just said, you know what, I'm just going to have to take a risk with catching some kind of bacteria or whatever. So I leaned up to his ear. He was lying in bed, and I leaned over to his ear and spoke into his ear for the 20 minutes or so we were talking together, knowing full well I was exposing myself to germs, but he could hear me, and I prayed with him, and I ministered the love of Jesus Christ to him, and turns out that there was a vet in his room, you know, the curtain on the other side, who was saved and was listening in. Okay, so I left, and then the next day I was shivering with a really high fever. and I caught a really bad, I don't know what it was, some kind of upper respiratory or respiratory thing. And I knew exactly where I got it from. I got it from being in the hospital, no masks or anything. I also have learned over the years that I have caught respiratory flus, viruses, all those kinds of things, even pneumonia and stuff, flying on planes. Because from what I've heard, the dirty little secret about planes is they recycle contaminated air when you're in the plane. So you're in this jet, which is recycling contaminated air. People are breathing all around you. You can't social distance anyway in an airplane. And so I noticed, you know, doing conferences where you just get run down because you may not sleep for a day. For me, I go to a conference, I may not sleep for a day or two between my body clock getting thrown off and the jet lag and speaking for hours each day and meeting and talking to people. You get run down. And then you're on a jet where people are infected with all kinds of stuff. I picked it up. My point is that in my own life experience, when I've been in the proximity of people who have respiratory type infections, colds, whatever, I can potentially, my rate and percentage of and probability of being infected by them goes up. So it's been my learning life experience and my experience talking privately with doctors that just being, you know, near people, shaking their hands, breathing in their germs, you increase the probability that you're going to get infected. So if that's true, and it is, then it would only make sense that regarding a mask, you're potentially decreasing. Let's say the mask only decreases the probability of you getting infected. Let's say the mask only decreases that probability by 25%. So it still means that you could be wearing a mask and still get infected by all kinds of stuff, including COVID. Okay, so you could make the argument that the mask doesn't work. Well, that's a stupid argument. The mask does work, but in reality, the mask may only reduce your risk of infection by 25%. Well, that's a significant percentage of reduction. Now, if you add to that keeping your immune system strong and everything else, you even further reduce the percentage risk of getting COVID or whatever. So I don't agree with people who just completely go off the deep end and say the mask doesn't do anything. Because many of the people who have said that or acted that way that I know have got seriously, seriously, seriously ill when they contracted the coronavirus and felt like they were dying. And I know a lot of ministers who, you know, were encouraging people not to wear masks and stuff, or I don't know what they were doing, but they weren't wearing masks. And I'm aware of a fair number of ministers who got the coronavirus and their families got it. So the point is to use the mind that God gave you. And so whenever you listen to somebody, that would include me, or you read an article or you see a video or whatever, you have to think for yourself. Like I read a very interesting article about occult rituals and the coronavirus. Well, it's obvious to me that writing books on occult rituals, like The Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 and 2, and Conquering the Matrix, it's obvious to me that there are occult symbols in this entire coronavirus thing. However, there is also medicine. It's not made up, you know, witch doctor medicine. It's medicine that has been proven by life experience and other things. So, am I not going to wear a mask because maybe a mask was used in they are used in occult rituals? No, that would be, you see, there's an absurdity. That you're entering the realm of the rational thinking. Just because people wear masks in occult rituals doesn't mean that people who wear a mask are performing an occult ritual. Now, the person who wrote this article said, oh, they were performing it. They just didn't know it. Well, it's true. You can perform an occult ritual and not be aware of it. Many times people are inducted into occult rituals, either on a mass level. That's why I wrote my book, Mass Awakening. It talks about how you can ignite a mass awakening, like a biblical third grade awakening, or you can ignite an occult great awakening. You should read Mass Awakening. You can get it at a book bundle discount at paulmaguire.us. So those things are true. But just because people wear masks in occult rituals doesn't mean that you shouldn't wear a mask to prevent disease or whatever. I mean, surgeons are wearing masks when they cut people open so they don't get sick. So I think that should be self-evident. So the key here is we have generations of people. This is the key. We have generations of people in America and around the world that have been systematically dumbed down in the educational system. Their ability to think critically has been artificially diminished. Their ability to use logic, reason, their knowledge of history is non-existent. So what you have is numerous generations of people that have been scientifically dumbed down. The end result of that is when they go into life, they now have a diminished capacity to think critically, logically, and rationally. In addition to that, since they have no real knowledge of history, they can't learn the lessons from history because they've been deliberately made ignorant of history. Now, so these people are running around, running society, they're pastors, they're Christians, they're non-Christians. They're the stuff that our society is made of. And so here is the problem. Because you have so many people who no longer possess the ability to use logic and reason, because you have so many people who have not acquired real knowledge, because you have so many people who cannot employ basic critical thinking, you have millions and millions of people in the U.S. and Europe and other places that have been dumbed down. They've been stupefied. And therefore, when these problems come up, like what we've been discussing on today's The Paul Maguire Report, we're discussing the tension between scientific medical fact and occultism, occult ritual symbolism, et cetera, et cetera. Now, to the average person who no longer has the ability to think critically and who has been dumbed down, when their minds are faced with these divergent realities, including pastors, they do one of two things. One is they reject it as a conspiracy theory, and that is a false destination. And it's a false destination because if you try to dismiss this as all a conspiracy theory, all you're doing is revealing to us you have been a victim of being dumbed down. Because your mind cannot perform the basic simplistic task of balancing and evaluating two different points of view at the same time. That's too sophisticated a mental task for you because you've been dumbed down. Okay? It's like, I don't know if this has happened to you. I don't know how many of you have rented a U-Haul truck and tried to move stuff. I don't know. I haven't rented a U-Haul truck in years, but I remember every time I rented a U-Haul truck, I was furious because they would fix the accelerator of the U-Haul trucks. They didn't want people speeding and driving rented trucks. So what they would do is they would rig the accelerator, and the maximum speed, for example, that you could drive in a U-Haul truck was something like 55 miles an hour. Well, the problem with that is you're renting a truck to move stuff, so you got a lot of heavy furniture in there. And whenever you have to drive uphill in California, you got to drive up some big hills. Now you're not going a maximum speed of 55 miles an hour. You're going like 35, 40 miles an hour in full-blown traffic. It's a nightmare. Well, why is there the problem? Because they rigged. They lowered the power of the acceleration of the truck. Well, we got millions of people's brains that have been rigged in America. And no matter how much they stomp on the accelerator of their brain, they're not going to go above 35 miles an hour. They have diminished mental capacity. And that includes many pastors and many Christians. So, it should be, it is the expectation, let's go back to the basics here. Since God created every man and woman in his own image, in the image of God, he created them both male and female. And one of the things God did when he created male and female is he put a brain in every male and he put a brain in every female with, as we said before, the expectation of using your brain. Now, when that brain has been rigged, indoctrinated into being stupid, etc., etc., you are no longer capable of performing minimally difficult mental thinking and mental tasks because you've been stupefied. And that's the problem we have here, you see. But what we have is we have multiple epidemics going on simultaneously because we have an epidemic of stupidity. And the epidemic of stupidity will kill everyone, by the way. Because the epidemic of stupidity makes it impossible for millions of people to evaluate, to perceive, to analyze, or process what's going on with the coronavirus, etc. So you end up with Christians and Christian leaders and other people making these crazy decisions like throw out all masks and, you know, show everybody that you're trusting God. You know how stupid a statement that is? You know, God called us to preach the gospel. If you're going around shouting stuff like that out, nobody's going to listen to you talk about Jesus because they think you're a fool. And you're not being a fool for Christ. You're just being a fool. You don't have any wisdom or guidance or knowledge upon which to make a statement like that. You sound like a flaming idiot. And the only people that will listen to you are other flaming idiots. I know this is getting some people mad, but this is too bad. The only people that will listen to you are other flaming idiots. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." First and foremost, Jesus Christ was talking about the truth of salvation. But Jesus Christ was also talking about the truth in any area of life. So, for example, we have the truth of salvation in Christ by faith. Another example would be that God created the Garden of Eden. God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. That's a truth. And a lie would be that man evolved over 200 million years randomly, you know, from a pebble to a microbe and eventually a chimpanzee into a human being over 200 million years. That's not truth. That's a lie. So we have to have the ability of discernment, of separating the lies from the truth. This is why so many Christian churches, you know, talk about being a fool. Talk about being a fool. We have major Christian denominations, such as the Southern Baptist Convention, affirming critical race theory. And how is it possible that they could affirm or sign on to, or whatever they mean by affirm? How is it that the Southern Baptists and other large denominations, by the way, and other large denominations, how is it that they could affirm anything that uses the term critical theory in it? How is that possible? How is that possible? Because you see, if you had even the most infantile, even the most minimal understanding of history, which obviously the heads of these seminaries and the heads of these denominations, like the Southern Baptists, do not have even the most minimal understanding of history. And by the way, just by that definition alone, just by being men and women who have no real understanding of history, that alone self-defines them as fools. Because only a fool would be somebody who is totally empty-headed regarding the truth of history. An educated man or woman, a man or woman who has gained wisdom, does know history and the lessons of history. But you have seminaries and giant churches and entire denominations that are essentially being run by fools. What's the definition of a fool? A fool is somebody who has rejected knowledge, wisdom, and correction. Because you see, and if you want to understand this, not if you want to understand this, you know what? You should be ashamed of yourself if you don't understand it. One way to understand it is you get my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I explain this entire thing with the critical race theory. Critical theory was developed by, as I talk about in my book, Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Critical theory was a methodology or a technique invented and created by professors who were trained by the KGB or the Russian secret police. And they originated in Moscow, Russia. Then they established what was called the Frankfurt School in Frankfurt, Germany, around 1917 or so. And the Frankfurt School in the Frankfurt School that was created in Germany, all the professors of the Frankfurt School were radical Marxists and radical communists, and they developed this master plan to transform America and the European Union nations into create a communist revolution in America, etc., by targeting a social revolution or a cultural revolution. And so these Frankfurt School Marxist professors developed a strategy for revolution known as critical theory. Critical theory was simply a method where, under the subterfuge, under the guise of educating people in their college and seminary, they would have them go through a huge curriculum known as the German schools of theological higher criticism. Okay, so the Frankfurt schools, or the Frankfurt School in Germany, the school of higher theological criticism or higher criticism, was a mind control game where, under the pretense of you say you're going there to get a Christian education or a Christian theological education, in reality, the word critical theory means you're being trained to look at the Bible and Christianity, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You're being trained by the Frankfurt School of Marxists into perceiving all of that as false. And the reason they call it critical theory is you're literally criticizing away, you're critiquing away, you're using psychological criticism to rip apart, cut apart, dissect, and dismantle the truthfulness of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. You're using hypercriticism. So you're brainwashed into, with your textbooks, your curriculum, what the professor is talking about. This same dynamic is happening on American universities, colleges, and campuses all over the United States right now, even as we speak. This same dynamic is being used in Christian colleges, Christian churches, Christian seminaries, Christian denominations right now, even as we speak. Critical theory simply means you train a person's mind to go into a hypercritical mode as it pertains to the Bible, Jesus Christ, Genesis to Revelation. You criticize it to pieces, which is another way of killing it or destroying it. And so what that does is that causes the person who goes through a curriculum called critical theory, it causes them to go through a mind control factory where by the time they graduate, they no longer believe in a literal resurrection. They no longer believe in Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They no longer believe that the biblical God is the real God. They no longer believe in an absolute right and an absolute wrong. They no longer believe in a heaven and a hell and a judgment. They no longer believe that Christ resurrected from the dead. They no longer believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They no longer believe in life after death. You see where that goes? It's an antichrist system. It's an antichrist system. It's an antichrist system designed to destroy Christ's system, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is being used by... You got millions of people tithing and writing out contributions and donation checks to Christian colleges, Christian churches, Christian universities, Christian seminaries, Christian denominations. And many of those people are using God's tithe money to preach an antichrist gospel. You understand what I'm saying? What's an antichrist gospel? It's the gospel of Satan, that there is no God, man is God, etc., etc. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. And so there would be a listener out there that would dare to criticize me for using the most minimal shock therapy to wake people up from their trance state when I make a remark like bozos. and they're offended. They're offended that Paul McGuire uses the word bozos and Christian at the same time. That's offensive to you. It's offensive that I would use the word bozo and call Christians bozos who reject knowledge and God's word. People are offended by that. Oh my God, listen to what he said. But let me ask you a question. You're offended by that, some of you anyway. You're offended by that, but why is it? No, really, why is it that you're not offended at all by the fact that millions of Christians tithe money and donations and support it, that their Christians are with their tithes and monies supporting Christian churches, Christian seminaries, Christian colleges, Christian denominations? You're funding them to indoctrinate the little children going to your Sunday school classes, the colleges, the church sermons. They're all being indoctrinated using methodologies of critical theory or critical race theory, which is designed to eradicate and destroy the faith that any person or little child would have in the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you're not offended at all by the fact that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, may go to hell for all eternity because their minds have been poisoned against believing in the gospel by people in the so-called Christian church and the denominations and the colleges and the seminaries who have become agents of critical theory. And critical theory, if you were to sit down with the Marxist professors who invented critical theory, they will tell you with their own words and writings that, here, I wrote this in the book, and you need to get the book, for crying out loud, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You can get it at paulmcguire.us. Critical theory, if you were to ask the Marxist professors who created critical theory, they would tell you with their own words. I've quoted them. I've documented their quotes in my books. They will tell you this is their goals. Number one, their number one goal of critical theory is to destroy Christianity. I mean, what more do you need? A personal email from Lucifer? What more do you need? They're telling you, the inventors of critical theory are telling you with their words, their writings, and their books that their number one goal in order of priority is number one, destroy Christianity. Number two, destroy any idea of an absolute right or an absolute wrong. Number three, destroy the traditional family. Number four, destroy patriotism. And number five, destroy nationalism. That's the destruction of our entire Judeo-Christian culture. And yet you're not offended by that. You're not offended by the pastors, the denominations, the colleges, the seminaries, and the Christians. You're not offended at all by the fact that they are using critical theory on Christian kids and Christian adults. You're not offended. You're not offended. You're not offended, and your friends are not offended. Your Christian friends are not offended. They're not offended at all that 8 out of 10 children raised in evangelical homes will walk away from or reject their faith in Jesus Christ by the time they graduate high school or by the time they enter college. 8 out of 10 kids will end up walking away from their faith in Jesus Christ by the time they enter college. And friends aren't offended by that. Some of you are not offended by that. But they're offended by me. They're offended by me because I pointed it out and I used the technique of sarcasm and a little shock. Why? Because when people are asleep, sometimes they need to be woken up. And on top of that, I have a solemn spiritual duty because I am not my own. Just like you're not your own, Paul McGuire is not his own. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that I'm not just a Christian. You're not just a Christian. I am a Christian who serves Jesus Christ as my Lord. Yes, he's my Savior. My sins are forgiven. And I'm going to heaven by faith in Christ. But I am serving Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I know evangelicals hate this word. They hate it. I am serving Jesus Christ as my Lord, Master. My Lord and Master. And my Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, commands me in his word, commands you in his word, that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel or win souls. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to occupy until he returns. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is commanding us to do. But you see, that becomes a very difficult task if we're trying, on one hand, to win people to Jesus Christ, make disciples of all nations. But if we choose to disobey God and remain ignorant and uneducated, and we refuse to acknowledge the fact, and by the way, it is a fact. I mean, I've got a whole stack of books here I've written, and I document and I quote these men. It is a fact. They have organized, planned to destroy Christianity and wipe it off the face of the earth. And one of the primary weapons they use is a mind game called critical theory. What happened to the German Christians in Germany before Hitler took over? Well, the Frankfurt School of German theological higher criticism, where all the Marxist professors were, they began, all the Germans who wanted to study Christian theology and the Bible, etc., they went to the German schools of theological higher criticism to get their theology degrees, to be taught the Bible. Okay? You realize how insane that is? The whole purpose of the German schools of theological higher criticism was not to, it was not to teach the Bible. It was to destroy any person's belief in the Bible through ridicule and through hyper criticism, where you would tear apart a passage of the scripture or the entire Bible itself. You'd tear it apart, not with truth, but with lies. And so what would happen was when these Christians would graduate from the German schools of theological higher criticism, they no longer believed in the Bible. They no longer were getting born again. They no longer believed in the Holy Spirit or miracles. They had become powerless, empty vessels. But simultaneously, while Christians, because they were going to the German schools of theological higher criticism, like they are today, where you have the Southern Baptists teaching critical race theory, which is a Marxist strategy for destroying Christianity under the guise of being racially compassionate. So what happened was the German schools of theological higher criticism succeeded in their goal, which was destroy any belief in true Christianity out of the minds of German young people and German adults who went to their schools. Now, here's the irony. At the exact same time this was happening, there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Germans who were studying spiritual, supernatural things. These Germans were going to schools where they were taught to believe in the supernatural and the spiritual. It's just that it wasn't Christianity they were taught to believe in. They became members of secret occult and satanic secret societies like the Vril Society, the Thule Society, and others. And Hitler and his highest level generals, they all believed in and practiced the occult and Satanism and belonged to secret occult societies. So you had two things happening. You had Christians losing their faith in Jesus and the supernatural. But you had another movement in Germany where there was an occult satanic revival going on. And if you don't believe it, just go to the library, the internet, look at the pictures of Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany, and you will see, you know, any halfwit would have recognized what was going on. You got giant swastika symbols covering buildings. Giant red flags with black swastikas. What's a swastika? It's an occult symbol. It's a demonic symbol that originates in ancient occult Tibet. Then you have the lightning bolt symbols, which is another blatant, hardcore occult symbol that represents Satanism. And the lightning bolts represent Satan. You have upside down crucifix for the peace symbol. That's an ancient occultic symbol of demonic origin. So you have Satan worshipers and occult societies who do believe in the devil and do believe in the supernatural, while simultaneously Christians are being indoctrinated to not really believe in the supernatural and to not really believe that Jesus is Lord. I mean, I think it's quite obvious to you who's going to win that spiritual war. And so do you think it was an accident? Now, what I'm saying to you now, I want you to take a slow, deep breath. I know that those of you that are regular listeners to the Paul McGuire Report, you're going to get this. Some of you, this may trouble. I'm not asking you to take a deep, slow breath. I'm going to ask you a question. Ideas have consequences. Good ideas have good consequences. Bad ideas have bad consequences. Now, in Germany, you had the Christians losing their faith, being indoctrinated no longer to believe in Jesus and the Bible. At the same time, you have Christians going to occult schools, occult secret societies, and being taught to believe in Satan and Satan's power and hell. That obviously is a bad idea. So who won that spiritual battle in Germany? Because Germany, in many ways, is very similar to the United States of America today. I hope those of you that are listening to the Paul McGuire Report right now, those of you that are listening to me in European nations, in the Middle East, South America, Russia, all over the U.S., Canada, wherever you're listening to me in the world, this truth applies to your nation as well. But at this moment, it super applies to America and the European Union. Think about this. There was a time in America when people gathered together in the thousands. They didn't have electronic loudspeakers and stuff. They, you know, 5,000 people, 8,000 people or whatever would gather outdoors to hear a biblical evangelist preaching the gospel. And these biblical evangelists, you know, going back to the 1800s and stuff like that, because they didn't have microphones and electronic equipment, they learned to speak with such power that everybody could hear them. They thundered the gospel. Now, time has changed. We no longer have 8,000, 10,000 people or whatever. For the most part, there's some exceptions. We do have it, but they're the exception rather than the rule. So I was channel surfing the other day, and I saw a recording of the Rolling Stones playing in Cuba. I believe it was Havana, Cuba. And it was the Rolling Stones, and it had the word moon in it, and it was a full blown Rolling Stones concert with the special effects, the lights, the music, and everything in Cuba. Now, that filled with electronic equipment and stuff. So we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is being done to some degree, thank God. But think about what happened in Germany. Who won that spiritual battle between the Christians and the occult and the Satanists? Who won that spiritual battle? Well, you'd have to say Adolf Hitler, in the short term, won that spiritual battle. He was an occultist. All his generals believed he was literally demon-possessed. He was a member of secret occult societies and participated in secret occult rituals. So did his generals and his SS troops. And they carried out human sacrifice and murdered and slaughtered about 7 million people in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, where they would burn people alive in the ovens, or they would gas them to death in the showers. And then they would strip them naked and pile their naked bodies up. And you need to look at the pictures of that. You need to stick your nose and face in some of these black and white pictures of real history, okay? And get a sense in your gut of what it feels like, smells like, and looks like to see millions of bodies naked and shriveled stacked upon each other, because that's the result of Satanism and witchcraft and Luciferianism. It isn't cute. You think it's cute that what's her name, whatever her name is, the model for Victoria's Secret and her husband's the big time Super Bowl player, and they make witchcraft, you know, all so cute. Look, I'm not saying she would do that, and I'm not saying that the majority of witches would do that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you go down the path of darkness far enough down the road into Satanism, into great evil, or godlessness, you end up with mass slaughter, mass death, and a total dictatorship. So, it's not cute when we start indoctrinating and when you dumb down the people, when you strip the Christians of their faith, because that's the beginning process. It would be naive, stupid, intellectually dishonest, and morally bankrupt to suggest that the mass deaths in Nazi Germany were the result of witches and all those in the occult. That would be a dishonest intellectual, and it would be a false conclusion. The reality is, the greater danger, the greater cause of the concentration camp massacres called the Holocaust, if we were to analyze what was the greatest forces that caused it from a spiritual perspective, you couldn't blame this on witches and the occult. That would be rather naive. The greater blame would have to be assigned to all the Christians and the pastors and Christian leaders in Germany who knew nothing about what was going on who knew nothing about the Bible, who allowed themselves and children and many adults to be brainwashed by the Frankfurt School Marxists, who programmed millions of people so-called studying the gospel through their theological schools of higher criticism, they erased any real faith in the Bible, in Jesus, and removed any real supernatural power from the church. Because I would suggest to you that the trigger event which caused the Holocaust, which caused all hell to break loose in Nazi Germany, the trigger event was first and foremost the engineered powerlessness of the church and so-called born-again Christians and pastors and seminaries and Christian leaders when they allowed their faith to be stripped from them by the Marxist professors in the Frankfurt School. They created a spiritual vacuum in the nation of Germany. No longer was the Holy Spirit restraining in Germany. No longer was the gospel restraining evil and winning souls to Christ in Germany. Instead, because of the spiritual vacuum created by Christians who lost their faith, that spiritual vacuum, that was the energizing force which propelled the demonic spirits, the principalities and powers, to put a demon-possessed madman named Adolf Hitler into power, along with his generals who were SS troop members and members of secret occult German societies. What I'm telling you is the explosion of evil, the power of evil, the power of Satanism, the power of the occult secret societies didn't just come from nothing. It came from the absence of the Holy Spirit, the absence of the true church, the absence of belief from the true church in the Word of God, the absence of the supernatural power of God. It was the powerlessness of the church that created the Holocaust. And what will be America's fate? Now, right now, we are moving in the same direction as Nazi Germany, at least as Christians. We are very close to the point of no return. We must have a revival, a biblical revival. We must have repentance, and that repentance can't be superficial. It has to get to the core of the issue. The core of the issue is found in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. When God's people worship idols and reject his word, that opens the door for the curse to come upon God's people. It doesn't matter. It matters on many levels, and yet on some levels, it doesn't matter who the next president is. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. It will be far better for the church on many levels if one particular president wins over another. Things will go far better. Freedoms can be preserved. The gospel can be advanced. The economy can be revived. But never forget, Jesus Christ is not limited in his power and authority to one single election. What's more important is that no matter who wins the election, and that is not a plea for non-involvement, that's not a plea for super spirituality, that's not a plea for copping out and being apathetic. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm saying is that what I'm saying is that the most powerful force in the United States of America or Europe or any other place in the world is not any politician or political party, although it is imperative that God's people participate in those things. The most powerful force that will decide what happens in America is what God's people, people who call themselves Christians, the church, what we will do as Christians individually and collectively, what we will do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how we will worship Jesus, how we will believe God and his word, how we will obey God and teach and proclaim his word. And most of all, whether or not you and I choose to be the carriers and transmitters of a biblical revival and a biblical third great awakening. There is no power in heaven on earth. There is no power in the United States, whether it's the New World Order or the globalist elite. All of those are real. Nobody's saying they're not real. They're real. But they are not all powerful. They're not God. The most powerful force on earth, whether it's in the European Union nations or any other nation or continent on planet earth, or in the United States, the most powerful force on earth is the supernatural body of Christ. Now, the supernatural body of Christ is not the same as the Christians that were powerless, empty, and non-believing in Germany. That was not the body of Christ. That was an empty shell or counterfeit of the body of Christ. The supernatural body of Christ is that legitimate body of Christ in which every individual who claims to be a member of the supernatural body of Christ has, number one, had their sins forgiven by faith in the blood of Jesus. Number two, that person has been authentically born again, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives inside of them, and they're born again. And number three, they are believers in the Word of God, and they're doers in the Word of God. And that they recognize that in and of themselves they can do nothing, that it's Christ in them, and they're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And to the degree that they rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and have an active faith in Christ and his word, then that group of ordinary people, like, for example, the early disciples that Jesus Christ discipled, were kind of regular guys. These were ordinary people, fishermen, tax collector, people in ordinary classes of society. They weren't the elite, yet it was that ordinary group of people that Jesus taught his word to. It was that ordinary group of people who met in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And as it was prophesied in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, God poured out his Holy Spirit on his church, these ordinary people. And these ordinary people, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, took on the most powerful economic, governmental, political, military empire on earth, the Roman Empire. This ragtag group of disciples, filled with the dunamis power of God, took on the Roman Empire. And they took on the Roman Empire with spiritual weapons, and they preached the gospel. But the result was that the mighty Roman Empire fell to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the number of converts was so great in Rome that the emperors of Rome, like Constantine, had to seriously Constantine and the other rulers of Rome had to seriously change their religion and their political structure in order to match it up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was not a perfect union by far. But the reason you're saved and I'm saved and the gospel's still being preached is because the power of the Holy Spirit was on the early church, and they took on the Roman Empire, essentially we're victorious. Because that power of the Holy Spirit continues in the true church and the true body of Christ up until this moment. So, we see the prophetic signs of Jesus Christ happening all around us. We see the COVID virus. So the question is, what does a true Christian do? Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself, am I truly a member of the supernatural body of Christ? And then if I am a member of the supernatural body of Christ, am I reading his word? Am I believing his word? Am I walking in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit? Because you and I are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So the most powerful force in America and the world is not any human army, it's not any human dictatorship, it's not any human system, it's not any occult system, political or economic system. The most powerful force in America and every other nation on planet Earth is the true supernatural body of Christ that believes the Word of God, acts on the Word of God, and is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So that implies, when you hear somebody like me or somebody else say that, and you have the Holy Spirit inside you, and you believe in God's word, hear somebody like me or somebody else say that we have the victory in Jesus Christ, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, there should be when you hear those words, there should be an explosive sense of overwhelming joy that ignites your soul, your body, soul, and spirit. When I said those words to you, speaking into the microphone here in the studio of the Paul McGuire Report, and I said those words to you, every cell in my body was hit with it felt like an electrical charge of joy, peace, and the supernatural power of God in Christ Jesus. Because I recognized that verbally, I was in synchronization with the heart of God. So we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. The antidote for fear is being filled with the Holy Spirit, which imparts overwhelming faith. You don't have a fear problem. You don't have a fear problem. You don't have a fear problem. In fact, you don't have a problem at all. You have a request. If you do have a problem, it's called a request problem. What's a request problem? Jesus Christ said to his disciples, that's me and you, that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, it will be done for us. So we simply ask in Jesus' name what we want. What do we want? Jesus, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ignite us with a fervent love for Jesus Christ. Lord, set us on fire. Set this nation on fire. Ignite us with a biblical third great awakening that will sweep America and sweep the world. Now, once the church does that, once you and I do that, and this is the critical thing to understand, once that is the number one priority, the other things fall into place. Once you're in sync with God, which means the important things are your first priority, then everything else falls into place. And fear is driven out from every dimension of your life. You should have no fear about money, about this, about the other. Why? Because if you are asking God and you're being filled with the power of Jesus Christ, it drives out fear. Why? Because the spirit of fear, and I'm not suggesting that Christians can be possessed, but God does say this, they can be externally oppressed. God says to you and me, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So the way the spirit of fear is broken from external, from demonizing us externally, is when we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means we can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That should turn you on. I'm asking you to join with me in spreading this message far and wide as fast as we can. You know the reason why I'm asking that. I want to thank those of you that are fervent prayer warriors and intercessors for me, my family, in this ministry. I want to thank you for spreading this message far and wide on the internet. And I want to thank you for seeking the Lord, listening to God, and then obeying God in terms of your financial contributions and financial donations so we can win this spiritual warfare. And finally, I want to say, visit paulmcguire.us and write down, put it into your cell phone, paulmcguire.us. We are going to be establishing this ministry on other social media posts and outlets. We will be posting a list of names very soon. You need to keep up with this because there's a war of censorship going on. And you need to be able to travel with us if we move, and we're going to move, to different social media platforms. Right now, our main platform is paulmcguire.us, or if you simply type in Paul McGuire prophecy or something like that. But we will have a list of new social media platforms. That is critical. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.